Reading is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to the end of the chapter. It can be found on page 1237 if you want to follow it in your pew Bibles. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If any acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, and God lives in them, and they in God, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Those who live in love live in God, and God in them. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If we say we love God, yet hate a brother or sister, we are liars. For any of us who do not love a brother or sister whom we have seen cannot love God whom we have not seen. And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love one another. And the second reading is Luke chapter 23. Verses 44 to 49. And that can be found on page 1070. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. God, our Father, on this Remembrance Day, we bring before you our thoughts and our memories, our hopes, our desires, and all that we are. We recognize our weaknesses and seek your strength and renewal. So as we reflect together this morning, will you be close to us and reshape us more in your image? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I came across a story. I don't know whether it's a true story or not, but it's rather nice. There was a man who, as he was coming to the end of his life, was looking for somewhere where he could live his retirement in peace. And he recognized that we live in a very uncertain world, a world full of pain and struggle and the threat of war. And so he did a lot of research to try and find the ideal place where he could go and live out his retirement without any fear of getting caught up in any kind of war. And he did lots of research. He looked right across the world until he identified an island that was so far away from anywhere that he knew that he could live out his life in retirement and peace there. Unfortunately, 2 weeks after he moved into his home on the Falkland Islands, war broke out. And you know, there is something in all of us that wants to turn our back on the things that are going on out in the world, because it's harder, and peace is much easier to look at within the confines of our own rooms and our own castle, as we English like to put it, where we can shut ourselves away and pretend that nothing is happening. But today, on this day, at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, we're invited to remember that the world is a much more difficult place, and to remember that the world is a place that sometimes asks us to make a stand for things that we believe are right. But also, the world sometimes is a place where those things that we hold on to and are right come at an immense cost. And so today we remember. We remember those people who, over the years and in many conflicts, have given their lives in order that others might live. As we heard those words, they gave their today that we might have our tomorrow. And we would never want to do anything other than to say thank you to God for the sacrifice of many young people, men and women and older people, who willingly offered their lives. And we recognize that that sacrifice for many of them was often immensely painful. It wasn't like those young men walked over the trenches full of bravado and just saying, you know, without fear. They went fearing everything, and yet the courage was that they still took those steps. And what a cost. In my last parish in St. Andrews in Paddock Wood, we had a window, and that window was in the shape of the George Cross. And many people hated the fact that this symbol of war was on our church. But when I heard the story of it, and it was the story of a young man called John Brunt, and John Brunt was a young officer who led his men with great courage and great valor, and particularly distinguished himself on the battlefield on one day, to such extent that he was awarded this George Cross. Sadly, the following day, after he had taken part in those things which and that courage which awarded him that, he was killed on the battlefield. And the window was paid for by his father, a father who loved his son so greatly that he wanted to make some mark or memorial of what he had done and what he had given. And it always struck me that to have this window that was given by a father who loved his son in memory of a son who gave his life for others was really appropriate on our church, because it reminded us of the cross of Jesus, but also the cross that men like John Brunt had to bear, and that we should never forget those who offered their lives. But there's an ambivalence too about war. There's an ambivalence about the way we go, and we've seen that this year, this week. We've seen that in our news with this trial of the Marines. And we've been appalled, because we've seen that war can make good men sometimes do terrible, terrible things. And I know one can't justify what this man has been found guilty of, but one can also hear the other story that over the 6 months preceding that, they had seen their friends being killed and their organs being cut out and hung on trees. And that dehumanizing effect. And so we have to recognize, too, and remember that war and on Remembrance Day, there is a huge cost. And it reminds us that we live in a very broken world. And there is a cost not only to those who go to serve, but for those who remain behind. I remember sitting with a friend of mine whose name was Frank. Frank was a brigadier in the First Gulf War, and he served in that, and he said to me that he served in it not gladly, but knowing that it was his duty and believing that it was the right thing to do, and that made it possible for him to go into battle. But when I sat with him, his son Christopher was about to go to Iraq for the Second Gulf War. And as I sat with him, this very high up man in the military, now retired, wept and wept and wept for his son. He wept because his son was going to a place where he might die and there was nothing that he could do about it. But he also wept because he said, whereas when I went to Iraq, I felt I was doing the right thing, I don't feel that this war is the right one. And so the pain that he was experiencing was compounded. And so when we remember today, we don't just remember those who are serving, but we remember those families and friends who remain at home and weep and live with fear. We remember too that sometimes duty calls us to do things that are outside of our consciousness and consciences, and that makes it even more difficult. But we remember also that war has other consequences. Consequences that are beyond those who serve and their families. And I was very privileged because I read a letter from a serving officer who's currently in Afghanistan and has been serving there. And a friend of mine wrote to him, he's her cousin, and asked him what Remembrance Day meant to him this year and what it was like. And he wrote back very honestly, with great compassion. He said, as I walk around in Afghanistan, I see so much suffering amongst the civilian population. And he gave an example of a man that he saw walking through the streets of Kabul with no hands as a result of the bombs and the war and the mines that were there. And he said, as I write back, he said, I have to say that the suffering of the people of Afghanistan and the ordinary people is so much greater than that which is suffered by our armed forces. I found myself reminded that one of those things when we remember is we have to remember that war is not something that we glorify, and it's something that has so much suffering for so many. In a moment, we're going to come and remember another dying. Our reading said that this is how we know what love is, because God sent his Son into the world in order that we might have life through him. I was with some people earlier this week who, though Christian, wanted to downgrade the cross, to say that the cross, while part of the story, is not necessarily the most vital part. And I felt myself coming back and saying, for all my weaknesses, for everything that I don't understand, one thing I do know and understand for me and my faith is that it is only because God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. That God, through Jesus, offered himself willingly on that cross, embraced and shared fully the suffering of our world, in order that we might see that our God is not one that's just up there and doesn't care, but one who shares fully, but who also triumphs over evil. And through the resurrection offers us a new hope and a different way of being. He offers us that opportunity for a new beginning and to live lives that reflect the love of God and help us and teach us what it means to really live together in love. Because we love because God first loved us. As we look around at each other, we have to recognize that each other has the same value that God puts upon him. In other words, that Jesus would die for that person. And if God so loved them, then so must we. And isn't it a tragedy that sometimes, even in the church that bears Christ's name, we cannot love and we hold on to resentments and pains and anger, and we don't give people any mercy. We just assume sometimes that they're doing it deliberately, or it's... And it must break God's heart sometimes. Because you see, our response to this love, to remembering Jesus' death on the cross week by week, should be in lives that are lived out in a different way. And you see, Jesus' love was not locked away in a quiet room on its own or in church. He lived it out in the public arena. It was on the streets that he was mocked. It was in the courts that he was tried. It was in the public place that he was executed. And we're called, as we remember Jesus' death on the cross, to live his life. I find that hard. I still remember my father when telling me about his national service. I've never been able to do what he did, but when he came in national service, you'd come into the barracks and you were in your kind of dorm, and all the beds were all the way down. My father came in there, and each night, before he went to sleep, he knelt down beside his bed in front of all the other soldiers, and he read his Bible, and he said his prayers. I don't know whether I'd have the guts to do that. I don't know whether I would have the guts to live my faith out so publicly. Just over 2 weeks ago, I was with a group from Bristol West in Uganda. And we went on Sunday to a church in a place called Muchwini. And I got to preach in a pulpit that was built by a man called Janani Luwum. Janani Luwum became a Christian in 1948. He was born in 1922, I think, and he went on to become the Archbishop of Uganda. And he had the misfortune, or the fortune, or the calling to be the Archbishop at the time of Idi Amin. And Idi Amin was one of the most notorious killers of the 20th century. And as Janani Luwum looked at what Idi Amin was doing, he realized that this was not right, and as a church and as a church leader, he could not stay silent. And so he began to speak up against the atrocities that were being done. And he went to see Amin and spoke to him and challenged him. And shortly after, his body was found in a car crash riddled with bullets. And there are claims that Amin himself was one of the ones who put a bullet through his head. But he recognized that it is not enough for us to stay silent and to run away into a place of peace. But that as Christians, we are called to love as God loved us. And that means being willing sometimes to challenge injustice. It means being willing to go the extra mile. And I found myself this morning sitting down and thinking, well, if God so loved me, how do I love? And I found myself really wanting and realizing that actually, sometimes I think we've only begun to scratch what it means to love as Christ loved us. And so today we give thanks for those who have given their lives. We recognize the real complexity and pain of our world. And we embrace our calling to be those who are salt and light, to be those who recognize the love of God for us and have the courage and willingness to express that love in our workplaces, in our family, and in our communities. So we remember. We remember those who have died. We remember those who mourn and those who have suffered. and we remember Jesus, and we remember our calling. Amen.